Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
You know, most people are excited to become parents. They have dreams of doing fun things together, enjoying new discoveries, having meaningful talks, and becoming fast friends with a friendship that lasts a lifetime. And then the harsh everyday realities set in. Children act up. They push a parent's button. They can be uncooperative, uncommunicative, and unpleasant to be around. What then? It's times like these that lead parents to behave exactly the way their own parents behaved, often by punishing or disciplining their child. My guest today, Dr. Rosina McAlpine, is with us to talk about how to swap discipline and punishment with empathy and education, which actually can lead us to the outcomes we really desire in parenting. Welcome to Full Power Living, where we are dedicated to awakening the world to the power, importance, and mastery of human emotions. You're listening to us on EmotionalPro.com's radio show page or on blogtalkradio.com/FPL. And remember, you can also subscribe to the series on iTunes. Well, who is Dr. Rosina McAlpine? She is an associate professor at the University of Sydney Business School with a master's degree and a PhD in education. She's also an internationally recognized award-winning researcher and educator. She's received 5 outstanding teaching awards at the faculty, university, and national levels in Australia, and 5 international best paper awards. Her research interests include navigating and negotiating work-life balance and gender equality. And since becoming a parent, she's been developing programs to help parents overcome the challenges of modern-day parenting using the latest research in child development. Rosina is also the editor of Inspired Children, How the Leading Minds of Today Raise Their Children, with chapters from leading minds in psychology, neuroscience, and biology from around the world. So, Dr. Rosina McAlpine, it's indeed a pleasure to welcome you to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, as I stated in my introductory remarks, parents seem to intend to be loving and tolerant and forgiveness, but they often turn to harshness. So let's start with how you would define harsh parenting.
So harsh parenting, often we think about harsh parenting as hitting our children or sending them into timeout, yelling at them. But actually harsh parenting is that and other things. So for example, withdrawing our love from our children, so ignoring them, sending them away, being critical of them, being judgmental of them, all of those aspects are along a spectrum of harsh parenting, right from the, you know, very harsh hitting or corporal punishment right through to the being very critical and judgmental, saying, what's the matter with you and can't you learn anything? Why are you so bad? Those sorts of things can be seen as harsh parenting as well.
Mm. I remember when my son was 16, he started college early, and he called and asked me about a very intimate situation that he was in. And as we concluded our conversation, I told him, you know, this may be very prejudiced of me, but I always thought I'd have this kind of discussion with my daughter, and I didn't think I would have it with my son. So I'm delighted to have this conversation, but I want to tell you that I never expected to have it, and I really appreciate your trust. And he said to me, there's a reason that I can trust you, Mom. If in all the years I've been telling you things, you had said so much as a when I told you, I would never have told you another thing.
I love that story, and that's the really key part of parenting, and that is building that relationship. And any form of harsh parenting, as you have lived in your own experience, means that children don't feel safe and they don't feel like they can come and talk to you. So your example is so perfect of what I'm talking about when I say it's so important to swap that discipline and punishment and harsh parenting with empathy and education, because then you know they're going to come and talk to you.
Part of what that story points out that I shared is that that there were some consequences to harsh parenting, which I inadvertently sidestepped, fortunately. But what kind of harm comes from harsh parenting?
Oh, there's so many things, and I'll make some suggestions, and then you can tell me which path you'd like us to go down. So first of all, the biggest harm that I see that comes from harsh parenting is the break in the relationship that you have with your child. So that's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is the impact that it has on your child. Now, we know that between the ages of 0 and 7 particularly, what a child is hearing is actually being like recorded in their psyche, in their brain, in their memory. And so if there's a lot of negativity, a lot of criticism, a lot of judgment about the child, it can really harm their self-concept. And that can play out in a lot of different ways. It can play out in low self-esteem. It can play out in not feeling like they're capable or competent. It can play out in being shy and not wanting to interact with the world. Negative self-talk is something else that can happen. So there are many, many harms personally to the child of harsh parenting, but there's also that harm to the relationship. And the final area that we can dig into more is it never feels right to the parent. I haven't spoken to any parent that I've coached or have been in my program that have said, after I've yelled at my child, I've smacked my child, I've sent them away, I've said mean things, that they then go, and now I feel really good. So, you know, at that point in time, they're not saying that. They're saying, and now I feel really bad. And what often happens then is you have that compensatory, so the child did something you weren't happy with, you overreacted, and now you're rewarding them for bad behavior. Because now you've got to go back and, give something to overcome that bad reaction that you had. So I really think that harsh parenting is a lose-lose situation for the child, for the parent, and for the relationship.
I can only agree with you. But I have a question about that. I was raised in a military family, and my father spanked, slapped, and hit. It was very harsh, and I hated it. But then when I became a parent, and in fact I was a single parent, I found myself doing the same thing to my own children. And I was horrified by it, as you suggest, and I did learn to change my ways. But one of the puzzling questions I had to deal with is why, when I hated it so, did I fall into treating my own children harshly in ways similar to how I was treated as a child? What's your answer to that?
One of the things that I've been researching is just that fact, because I also grew up in a very harsh family background. And I'm sure in your case, as it was in mine, that it was well intended. There was never malice or bad intent. It was always to raise a good, you know, kind, well-adjusted, good person that wasn't, you know, going to run wild in the world. So would you agree that that was what the intention was?
I don't think that was 100% true. They were trying to straighten me out from some bad patterns that other people in my life had that they thought I had.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, well-intentioned, making sure that you're okay. So I guess that's where most parents come from, that whole intention of if I smack and straighten you out, then you're going to be on the straight and narrow and you're going to have a great life. Now, the reason why we then repeat that behavior, even though we absolutely didn't like it. I certainly didn't like fearing my father and feeling the feelings that I had towards him growing up. You know, there were times when I hated him because I was so scared of him and I was so sick of being beaten for what I thought were unreasonable reasons. So when I became a parent, it was really important to me that I didn't repeat those behaviors. So I looked into why that happens. Now, the research shows that that children who were hit as children tend to hit as parents. And why is that? And the answer is because of what I was talking about in those early years. 0 to 7 is where we download into our subconscious programs things that become very automatic in us. And as we're growing up, and I know that everyone says this as well, you say the words, I'm never going to be like my parents, I'm never going to do what they did to me, and then all of a sudden you're in their position and you're doing the same thing. And that is because the automatic subconscious programs were already put there when you were very young. That was the automatic response. And we always know that we don't spend much time in, you know, our conscious thinking, because when we do, we would go, no, that's unacceptable. At a conscious level, of course, we say, that's not okay. That's not what I want to do. I want to reason with, I want to discuss, I want to, you know, help my child learn. I don't want to just hit them and send them away. But our subconscious programs kick in. And it's only through, as you said, that conscious effort where you stop yourself, where you go, hang on, there is a better way, and learn a new program, learn a new automatic route, that that changes. Does that answer that question?
Yes. Yeah. It just, that's what it seemed to be to me, that it was what I knew. I also came across a quote one time, and I cannot tell you where it came from because I was driving and had the radio on, and it just sort of jumped out at me and I didn't know who was talking, but it was somebody who had written a book. And the quote is that violence occurs when we run out of ideas.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Parents feel powerless and then they take their next best thing. That's exactly right. What else can I do? I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. And that is why I really love the idea of parent education. And one of the things I do in my workshop is I talk about a parenting tool belt for that very reason. And usually in the tool belt we've got, you know, you start with reasoning. Everyone starts with reasoning. I'll try and explain and, you know, what I'd like or how you need to behave. And then if that doesn't work, sometimes you go to the rewards pile and you go, look, if you do this, then I'll give you that. So if you eat your vegetables, then you can have some, you know, ice cream. And then if that doesn't work, you might move to the yelling, you know, what are mm-hmm. you doing? You know, get over here. Then you might move to the further escalation of punishment of some sort. And that's when it can be, you know, take away iPad time or smack or send away or say mean things. All of those things can move into that punishment category. So what I suggest to parents is to grab that tool belt, like visually, you've got it there in front of you, you've got all those tools. I suggest to parents, grab that tool belt, swing it to the back, because if you don't want to let go of it yet, that's fine, because you want to replace it with something. And then I teach them the new approach, and I say, so if you don't like this new approach and it doesn't work, of course you can always reach back and grab one of those tools. But the thing that happens with those tools is we have parent regret, we have children upset. It usually escalates and doesn't result in the result that we're looking for.
Right, right. Well, it did take me a lot of work. I got help in psychotherapy. And like you said, I had to introduce new ways of behaving in order to move away from that harsh parenting. And what you're suggesting in your approach is replacing discipline and punishment with empathy and education. And I want to get into that. But first, I want to know if you are suggesting a difference between discipline and punishment. And if so, what is it?
That's great. So often discipline and punishment are, you know, we start with the whole idea that through discipline, we raise our children to be the way that we want them to be. And that discipline can range generally with rewards or explanation. You know, that's how we're disciplining our children. But normally it's negative and we come up with the punishment. So we discipline them through punishment or we discipline them through rewards. That's how we're disciplining, because the whole idea of discipline is to be able to help children behave in a way that we'd like them to behave. And what I'm suggesting is, why don't we even get rid of that whole concept of it being about discipline rather than making it about education? Let's not even make it about this thing of discipline, that where we have to make children behave in a certain way.
I think that's a really great idea. One of the ideas about discipline that I've developed over the years is that a discipline really is about teaching our children, and it goes along with your education approach, but it's about teaching our children the laws of cause and effect, when you do this, it comes out over here. When you do that, it comes out over there. And you get to make a choice about what it is that you do and where you come out. And so, you know, I certainly agree with the educational approach. That's really great.
I can hear that you really get it, because definitely as part of the educational approach, understanding natural consequences as opposed to consequences as a part of discipline and punishment. There's a very big difference there, what you're talking about. So this is one where it's typical for parents, and that is if you don't share your toys, I'm going to put them in the bin, or I'm going to take them away until you can learn how to share. That's that typical discipline punishment that we're trying to teach children how to share. But what you were saying was, what about if we teach them about natural consequences? So let's say a child is not sharing. Now we start to understand about the empathy and the natural consequences, and we can say things like, well, how does it feel to you when you go over to somebody's place and they won't share their toys with you? So here's a natural consequence. Well, I don't feel good. I want to play with them, but they're not letting me play. Great. Okay, so what about now that there's someone over here wanting to play with you? What would be the consequence to them if you don't share? They will feel upset. And then what will happen? Well, they might not want to play with me anymore. So now we can see a natural consequence that can happen. And now what would be a natural consequence if you let people play with your toys and share them? And they might say, well, somebody might break it. And that's true. That is a natural consequence. And then we can talk about that. So those natural consequences are great life skills, whereas those other consequences are like, hang on a sec, what do you mean if I can't share them, that you're going to take them and put them in the bin? How is that a natural consequence?
Right. How's that helpful to me? If they could say things like that. Yeah, that's a really good differentiation. I like that. But what do you do? What do you say to parents if they're concerned and they go, oh, well, teaching all these natural consequences, it takes too long, we're very busy, and my child doesn't get it, and if I don't do something like control or punish them or discipline them, they're going to get out of control.
This is absolutely exactly what parents say. So you've hit the nail on the head. One of the things that we've got to distinguish between when we talk about an empathy and education model rather than a discipline and punishment model is, first of all, empathy and education is looking for the long term. So we're in the long term saying, oh, we're teaching our children values. We're teaching our children how to be in the world. Where the way in which we talk to them now will be still the way we can talk to them when they're tweens and still the way we can talk to them when they're teenagers. So we don't have to change our approach. We can always have this relationship, this empathy, this education. In the short term, yes, it might take longer. In the short term, it will take longer because you're trying to teach values. You're trying to teach an internal compass. You're trying to teach how to be in the world. So discipline and punishment might have very short-term, quick responses, but the problem is there the long-term outcome now? If I'm sharing with this child only because I know I'm going to get in trouble, when you're not there and I'm a teenager and I'm not going to get into trouble, why would I bother? Why would I bother sharing? So you can see short-term these approaches might work, but and then again, we've got to still come back to the work. Once you've disciplined or punished a child, they're upset, you're upset, nobody's happy, so there's really not a good outcome. So it might be short-term and it might be, inverted commas, fixed, but there's lots of negative side effects. Whereas if you go the other route, yeah, so it might take a few more words and it might take 3 or 4 times or 5 times, but then you've got a child with an internal compass that can make their own decisions and that can be translated to other situations. So for me, I talk about parenting for the long term, not for the short term.
I really like that. You know, my son is now 38, and 19 years ago when he was 19, he and I both attended, we both appeared on a national talk television show called The Rolanda Show with a focus on spanking. And the producers had invited him because he kept answering the phone when I wasn't there, and they asked him if he would come also. And I thought that he said the pithy thing of the whole show, because they, you know, he came as a kid who had been spanked and now he wasn't being spanked anymore, or you know, I'd gotten past it. And so Rolanda asked him, you know, what he thought about spanking or not spanking. And his response was, it depends on what kind of relationship you want to have with your child. If you want your child to do what you tell them to do and do it now, then go ahead and hit them. But if you want to have a relationship with your child that lasts a long time and you can be close in, don't hit them.
Wow. You know, that says it all, right? So there was wisdom, great wisdom out of that. And you gave him the opportunity. See, one of the things I want parents not to feel is that parenting guilt, because, you know, as you said, I smacked my child until I didn't. You know, and there's nothing to feel guilty about there. You smacked your child, you did the best you could do with the tools that you had.
Yes.
But then one day you went, you know what, this is not working. This is not what I want. So for me, parenting guilt is really not a very helpful approach, except to the extent that it can make you aware of you wanting to do something differently. So if that guilt triggers, hang on a sec, I'm going to learn something new, as opposed to that downward spiral of, oh, I'm a bad parent, why am I doing this? I didn't like it as a kid, so why am I doing it as a parent? You can see that it's like you're feeling bad, and so you've got like an arrow through your heart, and then you put this negative self-talk and guilt on top of it. It's like two arrows through the heart. So at this point in time, you're not helping anybody. So for me, I have a concept that I say personal best parenting, that everybody at every stage of their parenting is doing their personal best. But with a bit more education, with a bit more experience, with a bit more empathy for yourself and for your child, that personal best can move in a positive direction exponentially, day by day by day.
So let me add, I totally agree with you, let me add a short story to confirm what you've just said. When my daughter, who's now 45, was in the process of having her second child, I went and I stayed with her for 2 weeks. And during that time, she and I had a lot of conversations, and I apologized to her again. I said, I know I slapped you and spanked you when you were little, and I apologize again. I wish I hadn't done it. Can you forgive me? Will you forgive me? And she said, yes, Mom, I will forgive you, but I'll not ever forget it. And I said, okay. And then she said, do you want to know why I'm willing to forgive you? And I said, yes. And she said, it's because you've changed. You're not the same person you were when you did that.
Very powerful, isn't it? Isn't that so powerful?
Yes.
I love that. And that means that we can all change. And that gives your daughter permission to change. And it gives you everybody permission to make mistakes.
Yes, yes. So that, you know, I that's why I go ahead and tell people, because I think it's sometimes, oh, well, not sometimes, it's difficult to change out of these patterns. We're up to our first break here, Rosina. My guest today is Dr. Rosina McAlpine, who is the associate professor of at the University of Sydney Business School in Australia, and we're talking about ways of working and being with children that work and take us where we want to go in our families. And we'll have more ideas from Dr. McAlpine when we return here on Full Power Living.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. to get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Please sign up now at EmotionalPro.com to be on our mailing list. We'd like to send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, for example, my guest is serial entrepreneur and investor Mae McCarthy, who is going to share with us how to tap into your intuition and follow your instincts to achieve personal and financial abundance, much like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Oprah have done. Come be enlightened on how to find the answers you want right inside of you in your own intuition. That's 9 a.m. Pacific time next Thursday, February 4th. And thank you also for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. While you're on the Emotional Pro homepage, I have a gift for you, my free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions. This list can immediately help you to move toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. So today I'm talking with Associate Professor at the University of Sydney Business School, editor and award-winning researcher and teacher, Dr. Rosina McAlpine. And we're talking about how to get the results you seek in parenting your children by replacing discipline and punishment with empathy and education. And before we dive into our questions, Rosina, if a person wants to know more about you or wants to get hold of the book that you have edited, what's the best way for them to do that?
So they could go to drrosina.com, that's just drrosina.com, or easier to remember, winwinparenting.com. Thank you.
Is it win-win run together or with an underscore or a hyphen or what?
Win-win parenting, all run together. Winwinparenting.com.
All right. So bottom line, Rosina, parents feel a need to contain a child's unwanted behavior, but so easily, as I did, fall into punishing and disciplining, or they fall into rewarding and bribing instead of merely containing or educating. So that's where you've come up with win-win parenting. And before we actually dive into it, what are some of the benefits of moving away from punishment and discipline and toward education and empathy?
So is it okay if I just tell the initial story of how this all came about? Because
please,
that's what was the driver. Great. So my son was very young. I was raised with harshness, with harsh parenting, cruel words and smacking, all with the intent of creating a good, well-behaved child. So I already had that determination. I was not going to do the hitting, but I thought other methods like, you know, the rewards and the punishments in terms of not, like, time out maybe, or, you know, taking away something like a book was a good way to go at that stage, because I'd moved somewhat to my personal best at this stage. But what happened was Cameron was quite young, and he was in the that's my son, Cameron. He's 8 now, but this was when he was around 2. And he was in the kitchen while I was in another room, and I heard this big crash from the kitchen. Of course, you run in, you worry what had happened, and there's my son. Now I can laugh about it. I was not laughing at the time. There was my son. He'd opened the fridge, and he pulled out a big tub of yogurt that had smashed all over the floor. The poor kid had yogurt dripping all over him. It was all over the fridge. It was all over the floor.
Wow.
Up at me. And at that time, because I didn't know what I know now, I went, Cameron, what are you doing? You know, why are you, if you want something from the fridge, ask mummy, you know, don't get it yourself. And I was cleaning him up and I was speaking quite harshly and I sent him out of the room. And I remember as I was cleaning up, I was feeling terrible. The poor little thing had just had an accident, and I yelled at him basically and sent him out of the room. And as I was cleaning it up, some wisdom of some sort came to me, and it was clear. The only thing that had happened here was a little boy who didn't have spatial awareness. He'd put his hand in the fridge to get something, and everything forward of it had come out and smashed all over the floor.
Mm.
So after I'd cleaned it up, I thought, all I have to do is show him how to do it. That's it. He wasn't being naughty. He wasn't being misbehaving. And real good, Mummy, I was saying to myself, real good, tell him to ask you to get it so that he's not capable and competent himself. So for all reasons, I was like, no, that wasn't a good Mummy moment. So I called him back in the room and I said, Cameron, I just want to say I'm sorry. I didn't do a good job and I want another turn. Can Mummy have another turn at doing this? And that's when I realized mummies can always, daddies can always have a do-over. You can do better. You can say sorry just as you did and do better. And he said, yeah, sure, Mum. Like he could see there was not this angry, awful mother. There was this gentle mother who realized she'd made a mistake. So we practiced this whole idea of putting your hand in the fridge, moving things in front, aside, and then pulling what you want out. And he was so proud of himself and he could do it and he practiced it. And, of course, we've never had that accident again, right? Since then, he's 8 years old. We've never had the same thing. And what I realized was they're never, ever, 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 I could say this a long time, naughty. They just don't know. No matter what it is that's happening, I have not had a parent tell me once of all the years of seminars I've run that they could give me a story with where I could say, yep, that child's naughty versus missing a life skill. That all it is needs empathy for that child in that moment because they do not have the understanding. They do not have the life skill. And here we are as parents, we can be coaches, educators, loving carers, caregivers, and then you never have to feel like you have to discipline and punish your child again. And that is where my journey began.
Wow, that's really a lovely story. I don't know if you're familiar, but on LinkedIn, there's something called Parenting 2.0, which is dedicated to helping children, helping educators, parents, and learn the importance of life skills and to make sure that kids get those. If you haven't checked that out, you might want to do that. I'm a member of it.
I'm a founding member with Marlene.
Marlene, great.
We found each other many years ago.
All right. Well, that's great. I didn't realize that, so that's great. Well, no wonder my intuition is working overtime. Okay, but Rosina, children have a way of pushing a parent's buttons.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm of the opinion that it's the job of a child to push a parent's buttons because that's the way a child alerts the parent that the parent needs to strengthen or complete themselves in some way. And button pushing is the only tool that kids have. But when our buttons get pushed, what kinds of things can parents do to give those, what can they do in those infuriating moments? How do they stop themselves?
My journey that I just talked about resulted in me going to all of the research, to the experts, and I've been doing that for years now, to see, well, what can parents do if they want to raise a well-balanced, competent, capable child without yelling, screaming, disciplining, punishing? What are we going to do? So when I looked at neuroscience, psychology, education, when I looked at all of those different disciplines, what kept coming up were some key processes. And the first one was that parents need to stop. Instead of reacting, to respond. And that came through from neuroscience because we know fully that when something triggers us, we go from our thinking brain, our clear reasoning, logical thinking, problem-solving brain, into that more emotional fight or flight brain. Now, from there, I don't know anybody, apart from when you're running away from, not getting run over by a bus or eaten by an alligator, that could say, oh, yes, in my fight or flight, I made a very good decision. I responded in the appropriate way. I came up with a great solution to the problem. Nobody says that, right? Nobody.
Right.
So that's why when we look at it from that point of view, the very first thing we need to do is stop. So I developed a process called C parenting, because when you're in that challenge state, which of course can happen when children are not listening, when they're not sharing, when they're screaming, when they're fighting, when all the when they're not eating that beautiful dinner that you've prepared with love, you know, when all of those things are happening, you need a very simple process because you're not in, you know, in a good place. So I developed something called C parenting, C, a new way to parent, and that's S.E.E. And that simply says stop, empathize, and then educate. So step number one for every parent, no matter what, is stop. Now, the reason why I say that is because we've talked about, first of all, that we don't reason correctly, that we're often going to say something that we regret. But more importantly, we're giving ourselves the power back to respond. I find it very challenging when parents say, my children make me angry,
yes.
My children make me scream, my children make me. And I say, oh, don't give your power away like that. Don't tell your children that they are capable of doing something that makes you anything. You want to be in control. You're the adult. You've got the one that's got the emotional intelligence. You're the one that needs to say, I've got the power here to choose to be angry or to choose to respond. So for me, it's all about learning different strategies, and we can talk about those if you'd like to, of how to stop so that you can collect yourself and respond as opposed to blaming others for your state of being and then doing something you'll regret.
Yes, that's so important. And, you know, one of the things that I've shared with parents is that when you respond in anger, your child doesn't learn anything about themselves. They only learn what you do.
It's so true. And one of the things about the win-win parenting is we want a win for the parent and a win for the child. It's a lose-lose situation. When a parent is upset and angry, there's the stress. And now let's face it, has any child ever gone, oh, right, yeah, I get it. You just want me to put my shoes on, do you? You know, no child actually responds calmly and collectively to a parent screaming at them or disciplining them or punishing them. It just goes to the escalate, lose-lose. Now, parents upset, child's upset, things escalate, and nobody wins at all. And because a child is in fight or flight, we know full well they're not hearing a word you're saying. I always try and give the analogy with the empathy idea is, you know, if someone comes to me upset or angry, if I started yelling at them or telling them to calm down or to get a different perspective, what's usually going to happen is they're probably going to swear at me or, you know, walk off in disgust because they feel like I just don't understand them, I haven't listened to them, I don't have any empathy for them. So I say that to parents as well. When your child's in distress, stop, listen, empathize. You're more likely to get a good response out of them and you're able to respond better because it's just the basics of relationships. That's just how they work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, okay, give us an example. Suppose you've got a little toddler and, you know, toddlers get upset over things that you just amaze parents, like maybe you cut their toast wrong and they didn't
like
it. I love
that.
You know? How do you deal with that? How do you use when stop and empathy and educate with that?
It's so I love that example because I haven't come across a parent in the room when I go, okay, who's cut the toast wrong?
Like, right.
Everyone's cut the toast wrong, right?
Yes.
and so I say, okay, first thing is, your child's gone like, nah, throwing the toast away, or no, I don't want that, or it's squares instead of triangles. So the first thing you really want to do is react, right? So let's start the stop, empathize, educate process. So stop. It could be that you just need to turn around and compose yourself. Like, don't even look at your child because your face could be contorting at this point in time. It could be that you just need to walk away to the sink, go grab a glass of water and calm down. Take a few deep breaths. Anything that you do, take a yoga pose if that works. Whatever works for you, to actually just center yourself and stop. The next thing to do is to empathize. Now, I always say to parents, okay, so you're in a restaurant. Let's try and get this empathy. You're not remembering what it's like with the toast, but let's get a similar situation. So you're in a restaurant and the waiter comes over or the waitress comes over and they ask you what you want, and let's say that you want a steak and you want it medium rare, and they've taken your order and they go away and they come back and they've brought you this thing that's like charcoal cardboard. Now, normally when kids, you know, with the toast, we say to them, it'll taste the same, don't, you know, it doesn't make a difference if it's cut triangles or not, if you just chomp it up, it'll all go in your stomach, you know, we say all those things to them. Now imagine if the waiter, you said to the waiter, hang on a sec, I wanted medium rare, and then you brought me charcoal, and he goes, don't worry, it tastes the same, just chomp it up, it all goes in the same space, right?
Right.
Can you imagine? It's just not going to happen, right? So I say to parents, have empathy at that point in time. Your child had an idea of what they wanted. Maybe you didn't even ask them. Maybe they didn't even put in their order. Maybe you just made something and handed it to them. What if you got into a restaurant and they gave you something without even showing you the menu, right? And then it's educate. So at this point in time, you can say, okay, sweetie, from now on in, I'm going to ask you what you would like. And then when I ask you, you will need to eat it because we don't waste food in this house. So if you say to me we're going to have triangles, then that's what we're going to have. And if you say we're going to have squares, then that's what we're going to have. But we don't waste food in this house. So once you make a decision, you have to follow through on that. And if you make a bad choice this time, that's okay. The consequences are that that's the toast you eat or there's no toast. That's just the way it is. You made the choice. You have to live with those natural consequences. And next time, you'll be able to make a better choice. Can you see the difference?
Yes. Yes, it's really nice. Very nice. Thank you for that example. We're up to our second break, and I'm talking with professor, editor, educator, and researcher, Dr. Rosina McAlpine, about win-win parenting. And we're going to be talking about better ways to work with our teenagers when we return. We'll be right back here on Full Power Living.
Difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
All right, in case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Australian Associate Professor, award-winning researcher and teacher, Dr. Rosina McAlpine. She's editor of a book entitled Inspired Parenting, which is filled with cutting-edge approaches to parenting from around the world. So before we dive into more of our questions, especially around teens, Rosina, tell us a little bit about this project and what new things you may have learned through Inspired Parenting.
So the book started with, so my idea was I wanted to give my child life skills so that he lived an empowered life. One of the things that was very challenging for me, because I had so much negativity, criticism as I was growing up, I didn't feel like I had the confidence in myself or the ability to go into the world and just be who I am. I didn't have all the life skills for communication because I'd been yelled at and I'd been told what to do and I just followed instructions. I didn't really have trust, my inner guidance. I didn't really know how to be in the world. So I was really interested in making sure my son didn't have that experience, that he would know who he is and he would be kind and he would look after other people as well as himself. He could communicate. He would feel not less than, but like he can make a contribution. So I started contacting educators from around the world for parenting, regardless of whether they were child development, whether they were psychologists, neuroscientists. I even had an epigeneticist in there, believe it or not, because epigenetics is such an important part of the preconception stage of having a baby. So the book Inspired Children, How the Leading Minds of Today Raise Their Kids, was all about me asking experts from all out of the world not only about their science and what they were learning, but how they actually applied it to their children.
Oh, great.
So what was it that they did in their life's research that actually worked in their family? So, for example, one chapter is by a wonderful person who raised his child on his own. And what he was focusing on is, he's a life coach, and he was focusing on what's the difference between self-confidence and self-esteem, and how knowing the difference will change how you parent and how that impacts your child's self-esteem and self-confidence and your own. So it was extraordinary to talk to all these experts who had insights into parenting and how they applied it with their own children. So that's why I called it Inspired Children, because these kids would be raised in a different way, and the leading minds were using their knowledge to give their kids life skills.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I just have a couple of questions that kind of came to me as I was learning more about your approach. For example, suppose a parent has been using harsh or placating parenting and yet determines to use empathy and education instead. In my experience, there is a learning curve for the parent. It's not quickly accomplished necessarily. And I wondered if you could describe what kind of a process the parent goes through in making this shift.
I love that question, because no change is overnight. Let's face it. We've got ingrained habits that are in our subconscious. And so, if I might, I've put together a program called Win-Win Parenting to help parents. And what it does is it addresses all of the different levels. So first of all, you've got to have some education. That's the first thing. You can't do something different unless you've got an approach that is different, which is why I always say put that other old toolkit at the back and start with the new toolkit of stop, empathize, and educate. Now, in order to do that education process, you're going to need to know, well, what life skills do my children need? So, again, that's where you get educated. You have empathy for yourself. You get educated. So, see, parenting is stop, empathize, educate with your child, but stop, empathize, educate yourself. And I love that win-win part of that. Then there's the automatic programs. Now, to help with automatic programs, what always is the best thing I find is repetition, because we know that the more we repeat something, so I've got online videos, I've got audios, I've got workbooks, the more you repeat things, the more you repeat these new strategies, the more you've got ability to stop doing the old ones and start doing the new ones. So if I can have a visual of that, imagine your brain is like a map of roads. Now, something that you've been doing a long time is like a super highway. So if your child does something and then you automatically react, you've got a super highway to there. It's a fast route to yelling, or a fast route to sending them away, or a fast route to a negative comment. But here you go, you're on the other side and you're saying, no, I want a win-win approach. I don't want this negative approach. So you start saying, I'm going to stop. And what strategies am I going to put into place? One of the things you can do is, before you go into any stressful situation, taking a moment to take a relax, especially like, you know, for example, your main triggers might be just before bed when the kids won't get ready for bed. So instead of just going straight in there, give them the 5-minute warning and take 5 minutes yourself. And so now you've already pre-paved. It could be stressful, but I'm going to stay calm. It could be this, but I'm going to be able to manage it beautifully and gracefully. So being able to start to put those into place, and certainly know you know, judgment or negativity when you don't get it right. But I think the key one is this, and that is enlisting your children in the process.
Yes.
Saying, you know what, I've been doing this for a long time and clearly it's not working for either of us. So with Cameron, I've had, you know, situations where I say, I'm sorry, I didn't handle that well. I want to have another turn. I want to do that again. I want to do over. And I remember one time he said to me, and I'd never forget it because it stayed in my heart. He said to me, don't worry, Mummy. I know you're still learning how to be a good mummy. And I loved that. I just loved it. So enlist your children, learn new things, trial and error, and take it slowly, one step at a time. Try and change one thing at a time.
Beautiful. Thank you. So now there's another question that I have. I know a family with young children, and the parents use almost opposite approaches. One is placating, and the other is more of a disciplinarian. So one of the questions I have is, suppose you've got a situation where one of you is a disciplinarian and one is a placator. Is taking your win-win parenting course the best thing to do there to get them to work together?
There's two. I'm going to give two answers to this. Now, the first thing is, it's not always necessary that parents have exactly the same approach. And I'll explain why. I know you're going to say, well, that sounds really not like what I'd expect you to say. So I'm going to say it in one way, and then I'm going to say the opposite. I'm going to then say it is good to have the same approach, but I'll explain. So in our home, we have discipline. We've moved away from discipline and punishment. We have empathy and education. But that doesn't mean that every environment Cameron's in has that. So at school, he came home not that long ago and he said, Mom, at school today I got punished. And I said, what happened? He said, well, I did this thing and so they took 5 minutes off my playtime. But I'm a kid and I'm still learning and at home I don't get disciplined and punished. Why are they not realizing that I'm a kid and that I can learn if they teach me? And so I said to him, sweetie, in different environments there are different rules and you need to be able to be flexible in those environments. So at home, we don't discipline and punish. We have empathy, we educate, and we hope that we won't do the same mistake. We hope that, but sometimes we do. But we want natural consequences. But at school, you have to follow the rules at school, and that's how it is. Because we can't create an environment that's unrealistic for our children. So for me, sometimes having the different approaches is actually not a bad thing. It gives them that ability to make good decisions for themselves. So he can clearly see, I like much better empathy and education than I like discipline and punishment, but I'm also going to have to fit in to my school environment. That's just the way it is. So if parents are on a different page, what that does is it gives the children some flexibility that not all people will treat them the same. So that's my first answer. But my second answer is I really believe in stop, empathize, educate. And the question I'd be asking those parents who might be on different pages, which is fine, is your approach stop, empathize, educate? Is that what it is? Do you hope that through what you're doing, your child is learning? Now, if your child is only learning that I will get caught, so I'm going to become clever, or I don't really know inside my heart that this is not the right thing, but I'm not going to do it because I'm either going to lose privileges or I'm going to lose or I'm going to get punished of some sort, then they haven't got that internal compass. So for me, parents getting on the same page about the whole idea is to empower our children, to educate them so that when they leave our home, they're not doing things because they get in trouble or because they'll get awards. They do it because they know it's the right thing to do. They know how to behave in life and they know what the consequences of each of their choices are. So that's where I'd be saying get on the same page, and win-win is great for parents and great for kids. So that is definitely approach.
Great. I love that answer. All right, so we're coming close to the end here, but I really want to talk about teenagers and how you utilize this. Because when a child becomes a teenager, we don't have full control over their life anymore. We already have some patterns that have been going, maybe some that don't work so well. Teens can really bring up strong feelings in parents. I remember my son used to argue with me no matter what I said. And at the very least, my son taught me that the best way I could help us through his teen years was to teach myself not to be emotionally reactive. And I think that's part of what you're doing in your system also.
Absolutely. I love to talk about teens because the thing about the C parenting, stop, empathize, educate, it can be for a toddler, a tween, or a teen, because at all points in time, being calm is so important. Having empathy for your child and empathy for yourself is so important, whether you're a toddler or a teenager. And finally, education. Now, clearly, what you're going to teach your two-year-old about sharing and what you're going to teach your teenager about sharing and caring and loving and all those things are going to be quite different. But that same model can apply. Now, some parents tend to smack and discipline and punish little children and then say, but that'll change when they're older. But the question is, have you already now set up patterns that are not changeable? Now,
yes.
You started this talk right at the beginning with your son saying to you, you know why I talk to you, Mum? Because when I talk to you and I share, you don't judge me. You don't criticize me. You don't punish me. So I feel safe to come and talk to you about things, which means that you're in a position then to be able to influence your child, to make them think, to coach them, to guide them. Now, with teenagers, it's very important to realize that their cognitive development, in other words, their ability to reason, is very developed by the teen years. So we cannot treat them in the same way as we would guide our little ones. So therefore, for me with teenagers is that empathy. So if they're being rude or yelling, for me what's missing is they don't understand social relationships. Now they're biting the hand that feeds them at this point in time. That
yeah.
is not a good thing. So instead of reacting and saying, you're rude, you don't deserve me, what kind of a child is so disrespectful, you know, now you've got them on the back foot. But what if you said, hey, honey, I'm here to help. I get that you're upset. There's something clearly going on with you. Is there something I can do to help? Is there a problem that, you know, you'd like some, just a space to vent? Let me hear it. And then say, okay, so I hear that, you know, your best friend has just gone off with somebody else now or have said, you know, you've got a, there's a post on Facebook that's really negative about you. So what do you plan on doing about it? How do you feel about that? What impact is that having on you? Right. And could you choose to be different? Could you choose a different thought? Could you choose a different response? And where might they be coming from? What's going on in their lives at the moment? So here you are guiding, helping them come up with solutions to their own problems, and they may come up with very naive ones that you can then go, well, what would be the consequence of that if you put up another post that was just as rude? What do you think the consequences of that's going to be, okay?
Right.
And so for me, it's that whole educating about how to be in the world, guiding them, helping them make good decisions, thinking through consequences. And so it's not any different from what you did when they were tiny and toddlers and not sharing, but just obviously different topic areas, much more challenging and much more complex. Does that help?
I think it's lovely. I love the way you're talking about that. And it is so important to have that in with your teenager so that you can guide them. Sadly, Rosina, it's time for us to stop. Let me remind people that you have two websites. One is Win-Win Parenting. That's W-I-N-W-I-N. WinWinParenting.com. And the other is Dr. Rosina, drrosina.com. I want to really thank you for being here with us on Full Power Living today. I think that having a technique like stop, empathize, and educate actually gives us a convenient and easier way to implement things. It's an easy thing to remember as we're raising our children. And as you've so well pointed out today, it gives us a better perspective on the long run, what's really important as we are caught up in our busy and stress-filled modern lives. So thank you so much for the work you do and for sharing it with us here today.
Oh, I love being on the show. I loved your stories. Thank you so much for sharing them. They just dovetail perfectly with Win-Win Parenting. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes, my pleasure. All right, so join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Next week, find out how to intuit your way to happiness and success when I talk with serial entrepreneur and investor Mae McCarthy. That's February 4th from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time, and I look forward to having you there for that show. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media, thank you for holding my hand through the show. Thank you so much for helping with the production of this show. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.